19. We don't have the bulletins today, but I believe we will have the main verses up in just a second. If you want to come get a Bible, come get a Bible. The Spirit of the Lord is moving today, and we don't want to do anything to hinder that. So let's just continue to keep our focus and our gaze on the Most High God. He is risen, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Michael, you are loved by God. You are loved. You are more important. You are more important to His plan than you would even imagine. You would even, you know, there was times when you doubted. You still have those doubts, you know. Nobody wants to follow some fairy tale or something like that. No one wants to waste their time or their life with something that's not true. But the Lord is revealing Himself to you, and He's been calling you by name, and He does have a desire to use you. You are loved. That's all I just want to say. Mike, I know it's like super weird thing ever, but you know what, man? You are loved. You are loved. And I'm not just talking about these nutty, crazy people. They love you. They'll love anybody. But the Most High God, the Creator of the universe, loves you with an undying love. And He does have big things for you. He does want to bless you. He does want to open up some stuff for you. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your heart, young man. Just be open to what the Lord has for you. I can tell you this much. He's real, and He's changed a lot of people's lives in here. And just want to say it again. You are loved, my friend. So the book of John chapter 21, 15 through 17. These are our main verses today. What we have here is Jesus has already been resurrected from the dead. He had already appeared to His disciples at least twice in Jerusalem, but he also told them before his death, before the crucifixion, He told them, "Hey, some things are going to happen to me that you guys aren't going to dig on, okay? But here's the deal: when I'm risen, I will go before you and I will meet you in Galilee." Okay? Mark 14 and verse 28. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. This is at the same moment when He's telling Peter, "Hey, Pete, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter's like, "No way, not me." Okay? Now, Peter's very important for our topic today, what we want to talk about, okay? Peter says, "I'm not going to deny you. These other cats might, but there's no way I would ever deny you." And so during that time, Jesus says this, Mark 14 and verse 28, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." So something's going to happen in Galilee, okay? Matthew 28 and verse 10. Now that was obviously before His death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. That was at the Last Supper. Now, as He reveals Himself to the Marys, Mary Magdalene, at the empty tomb, an angel appears and says, "Hey, Jesus has gone before the disciples to Galilee." All right. Now Jesus Himself appears to the Marys and says this in Matthew 28, verse 10. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers.'" And it's noteworthy that Peter was called out by name. Okay. "Tell Peter about this." Okay. "Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Okay, so like I said, this is the resurrection. He appears to the disciples a couple times in Jerusalem. Now they are in Galilee, a completely different part of the country. Now let's read our, let me just read our text real fast. Can we put that up for a second? Is that possible? If it's not, it's totally cool. I know this is just one of those wild days we got going on here. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' He said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' He saith to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' He saith unto him, 'Yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee.' He saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' Verse 17, he saith unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So that's our main text for today. So let's start at 21 in verse 15, part A. Just check this out. We have, okay, let me just do a little backup stuff here. The disciples are in Galilee now, okay? And they're at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. And they're sitting around, and Peter says this. He says something along the lines of this, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go fishing. So Peter, doing what he did before he met Jesus Christ, gets in a boat. Maybe it was one of his family's boats. Maybe it was somebody's boat that he knew. We don't know. We just know that Peter got on a boat and the other disciples followed. There were seven disciples in all at this meeting. The seven disciples get on the boat with Pete and they go fishing. They go fishing all night because that's when they fished back then. They fished at night. It was brutally hot. I'm not going to get into all that stuff, but as the morning approached and they were coming back to the shore, they hadn't caught a single thing, and Jesus reveals himself. There's a huge miraculous catch of fish. They have an amazing breakfast with the risen Savior on the beach. Everybody's hanging out with Jesus. Everyone's just having a great time there with the risen Savior, and now Jesus singles out Peter. Him and Peter go on a walk, if you will. They are walking along the beach, okay? Now, Jesus has sought out Peter as an individual, okay? Now, you got to remember what's been going on in Big Pete's life, or Peter's life, over the last little while. Remember, he had just denied Jesus three times. His relationship is a little weird right now with Jesus. There's a lot that needs to be said. Peter's just acting strange. He's in a different place. Different things are going on in his life. Everything that he thought was going to happen a certain way happened completely different. But now the Messiah's risen, but he's got all these questions and his heart is troubled. His heart's troubled. So Jesus seeks out Peter as an individual. Remember this, guys, that he'll leave the 99 to go after the one, won't he? That he takes care of all of us, but he loves us all as individuals as well, and he has time for each and every one of us, okay? He's not too big, too busy to spend time with you. And when you're hurting, you need to go to him. You need to run to him. Let him be your strong tower. You don't have to understand everything. Everything does not have to make perfect sense to you, but run into the arms of the Lord who does know everything and is in control of all things. Can I get a witness? And give the Lord some praise, like seriously. So they're wrapping up breakfast, Jesus and Peter now hanging out. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, that's important, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John or son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? Okay, now that's only half of that verse right there, but this we want to camp here for a second because there's a lot going on right now. Okay, there's a few ways that we can look at this. There's a few ways the scholars... Theologians, they all have their different opinions. They go back and forth on what Jesus is pointing out, okay? But the sentiment's the same. So we'll go briefly over the three main things that the scholars say this is what Jesus is talking about. Okay, so it says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Okay, so one thing Jesus could be saying is, do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Do you love me the most, Pete? Do you love me more than the other disciples love me? Or he could be saying, do you love me, Peter, more than you love the other disciples? Yeah, that could be, it could be. Or he could be saying, and this is the one I kind of lean toward, but it doesn't matter. Because like I said, the sentiment is the same. He's saying, Simon, son of Jonas, Simon, son of John, who's the most important? What is the most important thing in your life, man? You've been going through a lot. There's been so much going on since the Last Supper. I know things have just been moving really, really fast. There was the whole denial thing three times and all that. Look, where are we, man? What is the most important thing to you? So the third option like I said, and I'm not here to give my opinion, but this is the kind of this is how I see it, because Jesus, as he would do teachings, if you read scripture, it would look like he would, as he does teachings, he would look at his environment, the things around him, the things that that his audience would understand, like the workers in the field and the birds of the air and all this. You can picture Jesus talking and pointing these things out, using them as illustrations. So I tend to believe he's saying, as they're walking in the smell of the ocean, the waves, the boats rocking back and forth, the nets, the fish, the seagulls. And remember, this was Pete's old way of life. Peter just went fishing, man. You know, he's like, oh, man, I'm going fishing. When all else fails, man, I'm going back to the old, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Robert Shepherd, I don't know what to do. My life is just crazy. And he says, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. And so the other disciples follow, because Peter is kind of like a leader, man, you know. But that we'll tackle that a little bit later. But the important thing is he's asking Peter, what's the big thing? What is most important to you? Do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Do you love these other disciples more than you love me? You think you love me? I'm going to get confused if I say that anymore. But do you love me more than this? The smell of the beach, the fish, the old way of life. Here it is, Pete. I said meet me here. And here we are, man. We're at a crossroads, bro. You know, here we are. And that's, hey, you know, the Lord asks all of that. What's the important thing here? Look at John 21 and verse 15, like I done said. John 21:15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What's the most important thing to you? Where are we in our relationship? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Jesus, like, do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Well, then feed my lambs. Now, Jesus is using the word agape for love. You've heard it. If you've ever been in church a day in your life, you know that there's so many different words for love. And then the English word, we just have love. Like, hey, I love pound cake. Hey, I love, I love my baby, you know. I love getting great deals at Waffle House. You know what I'm saying? All right. So, anyways, Jesus is saying, do you agape me? Do you love me? Do you have the same type of love for me that I have for you, Peter? You know, how committed are you to me? You know, and Jesus knows all things. Peter's about to bring that up. Okay. All right. Look at Matthew 22 and verse 37. You don't have access to that right now. Don't turn to it. Let me just read it. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Now, Jesus was asked by a Pharisee, what's the greatest commandment, teacher? You know, what's the big one here out of all this, out of these hundreds of years of scripture and God giving the Ten Commandments and the law, ceremonial law? What's the big one? What's the big deal here? And Jesus says, well, it's this one right here. I'll give you two. But we're only going to focus on one of them today. So it is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus breaks down the law in those two verses. I'm about to trip over this. Matthew 22 and verse 37. This is what Jesus wants out of his people. This is what he's talking. This is what he's talking to Peter about. This is what he wants from us, folks. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. God wants his people to be devoted to his son. God wants his people to be sold out to Jesus Christ. He wants the things we think about to go through the grid of, would I be thinking about this if I was sitting right next to the risen Savior? Would I be doing this if I was with the risen Savior? Does that make sense, my friends? God wants us to be devoted, to be sold out, just like you might be to your hobby that you can't stop thinking about, that you might be thinking about right now. Or you know, we get so devoted to our careers and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, but God says you got to prioritize, and I got to be at the top. God's got to be at the top. Everything flows down from him. Can I get a witness? All right, give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. So as we go through these three verses, there's about four or five things that really just jump out at me. Okay, so let's read our text again. We're going to do 16 and 17. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know everything about me. You know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So let's go down the list real fast, and we're moving right along. Okay, so the first thing that jumps out at me, my good friend, Brother Dalton, is that he's calling Peter, he's calling him Simon. Okay, now that was his given name. That was the name that they wrote on the birth certificate when they put his feet on the little document and did all that back in the day. That's what they call Simon, son of Jonah. Here you go. So that was his name. That was his given name. See, I believe that Jesus has called this whole thing at Galilee, and specifically meeting them at the Sea of Galilee, so Peter can kind of analyze his life and say, where are we, man? Because you're acting a lot like Simon. You're acting a lot like the cat that didn't know me. But we did 3+ years together. And just because, you denied me 3 times, looky here. We can still pick up right where we left off at, man. But the choice is yours. What do you want to do here, Pete? But he keeps calling him Simon, son of John. That would be how he would say his name was before he met Jesus. But now he's kind of acting like that old guy again. Does that make sense? Okay. So we certainly can have that tendency when we're going through a difficult time, or are we given to a little bit of temptation? We give into a little bit of temptation, or we find that we've just dropped the ball, man. Something caught us off guard. Maybe we got in the flesh a little bit. Maybe we chewed some dude out in the line for something, And so, God is calling us. Hey, check yourself, man. As the great theologian said, check yourself before you wreck yourself. I don't know who said that. That was some rapper dude. Anywho, look at Ephesians 4 and verse 17 with me. When we accept Christ, let's just look at it like this. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there should be some changes in us. And I don't mean, and I really want to stress this out. I don't know what happened to Mikey, but, that doesn't matter. Forget that. But, when you accept Christ, sometimes you see sparkles and things are crazy and you fall over or you're just overwhelmed with emotion. Sometimes not. Sometimes, man, you just make a statement and Jesus just sets up residence in your heart. Does that make sense? You don't have to go through a bunch of loops or anything like that, but when Jesus meets with you, he takes it serious. And so once you're saved, there should be some fruit that begins to start to be bored. I don't know. That you should be bearing fruit, okay? That is a sign of being a Christian. Not that you're perfect. You just accepted a perfect gift, and now your salvation is secure. But that should mean something to you. And with the indwelling Holy Spirit, I don't care what church you go to, what you subscribe to, what your grandma told you, what your priest or pastor told you. I'm just saying, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your holy, calm down. Everyone say, just calm down. Okay, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside you, okay? So that Holy Spirit now dwells inside you. And that Holy Spirit is going to begin to prompt you to say, don't do that. You don't want to do that. And so you're either going to be a miserable type of Christian, or you're going to end up listening to the Holy Spirit and growing in your relationship. That's what God wants out of us. He wants us to grow in relationship. So all I'm saying is there should be some changes in us. Matter of fact, look at Ephesians 4 and verse 17, or let me just read it. This is the Apostle Paul. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. Okay, so Paul's telling the church in Ephesus, don't act like a pagan. Don't act like an unbeliever. You're not that anymore. You've been bought at a price. You're not your own. There needs to be some changes in you. Remember John 14:15, if you love me, do the things I command. So, you know, Jesus Christ is just calling this out to Peter. Peter, look at your life. What do you want to do here? What direction do you want to go? Because I got some big, big plans for you. There's some things I really want to do through you and for you and to you. All right? Makes sense, right? Okay. Peter was grieved. So he was calling him Simon, son of John, because that's pretty much how he was acting, right? And now we notice, let me call attention to the fact that Peter was grieved. You know, Jesus kept saying, like, oh, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? And the third time, instead of agape, he says, are we even bros, man? Do you affilio me? You know, brotherly love, Philadelphia. Where are we at, man? You know, what's going on with you? Love, tender, the truth. Giving the truth in love, asking Peter to look at himself. Peter was grieved. Three times, man, he's asked the same question. And there's been a change in the relationship. Not that Jesus would cast Peter out or anything like that, okay? But you know, when I sin against the Lord. As a Christian, as someone that is a blood-bought saint, and I love Jesus Christ, and I do something I shouldn't do, okay? Well, then, I should be grieved by that, and that should lead me to repentance, okay? And that's really the thing that I've noticed since I've been a Christian for what, 3-4 weeks now. It's been longer than that. Never mind. It's been a long time. What are we talking about today? Yeah, he's grieved, Peter's grieved. I forgot. See, that's why you don't be silly when you're up here. But, you know, I'm just doing the best that I can. I don't know. Because Jesus kept asking him, Peter, do you love me? Jesus is telling, I'm going back and I'm reading my own notes. Jesus is telling Peter to examine his relationship with God. Over and over again. Now remember, Peter denied Jesus three times. Jesus has went over three times. Do you love me? Do you love me? Jesus is seeking and desiring and reinstating Peter to the ministry, just like nothing ever happened, if that's what Pete wants to do. But see, I take my past sins, my past transgressions, and I don't let them hold me back, but I certainly want to use them as a propellant to move forward, you know. Like the Apostle Paul, I don't dwell on the past. The past doesn't hold me back. There's nothing for me in that past. I wouldn't be happy if I went back to the past. Okay, I'm not going to be bound by that junk, okay. I'm not changing the fact that happened, but hey, I'm forgiven of that. I don't need to wallow in that mess. I want to move forward. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. So Pete, what do you want to do here? Three denials. Three, Pete's, do you love me? Okay, look at Second Corinthians. I keep saying look like you have access to these things today. We don't have the bulletin. But 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This is what God asks of his people. To examine ourselves. Amen? All right? God asks us to examine ourselves. And we can keep ourselves from a lot of painful consequences. Yeah, that's a good one. We can save ourselves from a lot of painful consequences if we would examine ourselves. You know, because there are consequences bound up with every single action, right? That's just how it works. It's not like God is waiting with a bunch of thunderbolts saying, oh, he's about to do it, Gabriel, check it out. He's not like that. He warns us. He says, there's a consequence wrapped up in this action. That's why I'm saying choose life. Do the right thing. Okay, 2 Corinthians, and it just shows the love of our Lord and Savior that he even warns us, man, right? I mean, let me just go forward. All God's people said, just go forward. 13 verse 5. This is what this is Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and the Corinthian church was kind of a rowdy bunch, but that's a topic for another day. Examine yourselves to see whatever you are in the faith, let me just do this again. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Did you hear what the Apostle Paul just said? Examine yourselves. Look at your life, man. Where does your mind go when you're left alone? What are you constantly thinking about? Are you thinking about what I can get away with and still be a Christian? What's going on with you? What's going on, Pete? What's going on? Examine yourselves to see examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. That's pretty cool. The Apostle Paul saying, don't you understand that you're a Christian and that means that the Holy Spirit dwells inside you and that should mean something, okay? Unless you fail the test, unless you're not really a Christian, that's why I'm saying examine yourself, because we need to search ourselves from time to time. I tell young married couples or people that want to get married, when I do marriage counseling, I say, you know what's really, really cool? is to set up a time once a month, once every 2 weeks, whatever works for you, and meet together with your spouse and just kind of talk about things. See where you guys are. Don't let little foxes spoil big vines. You know, deal with things and have a little safe place where no one's going to get mad and no one's going to start screaming and just kind of talk about things. It's funny because one time this dude called me up. I just married him, tied the knot and all that, and they took me out to Flounders. I had a lot of good food and everything. And he called me up about a month later and was like, dude, that doesn't work for us. We can't do the little meeting thing. We just want to kill each other. Yep. Now it's the part of the sermon when we dance. That ain't my phone, baby, but I do dig it. Okay. All right, moving forward. So... yeah, anyways, just forget what I was just saying because I don't really remember something about counseling. But we are to examine ourselves. Anyways, and so Peter was grieved. Jesus is calling Peter by his old name, Simon, son of Jonas, or Simon, son of John. Peter was grieved by the repetition of these questions. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you even really like me, Peter? What's going on? And now Peter says, you know I love you, and God, you know everything. Is that true? Is that true? Does God know every single thing about us? Because it seems like if he knew every single thing about us, he might not love us as much as he does. But see, that's just the wonderful thing. That's that part of that mystery, you know, is he knows how messed up we are, and he loves us with that undying love. Can I get a witness? You know what I mean? Yeah, give the Lord, come on. God knows all. Psalm 139 and verse 2, and I hope you already knew that. It's like the kids smoking behind the tree. The kids hiding behind the oak tree smoking the cigarettes. I'm like, hey, no one's gonna know, you know, and the smoke's going out, and plus you smell like cigarettes, and everybody knows, you know. But that's just like the kids would try and pretend, you know, no one's gonna know, you know. Sometimes we think, God doesn't know what I'm doing, or if he does, he doesn't care. He certainly knows, and he certainly cares. Remember, if you love me, you will do the things I command. We go from salvation to sanctification. He wants his people to mature. He doesn't want just a bunch of spoiled little kids running around. He wants us to mature so we can be that light to a lost and dying world, leading people to the cross of Christ. Psalm 139 and verse 2, talking about God knows all. Peter brings that up. God, you know everything. Why are you doing this to me? You know everything. You know where we're at. Psalm 139 and verse 2. Look at what the psalmist says. You know when I sit down, and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. And you go all through Scripture. David talks about I can go here, I can go there, I can go to the bottom of the ocean. Doesn't matter. I can go to Sheol. It's kind of funny to say that. Sheol. You can go to, doesn't matter where I go, doesn't matter what I do, you see it all, you know it all. Let's understand that right now, that you're not getting away with anything, all right? You know, I had to realize that. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes his patience with you, you think, oh, he must be cool with this. God must be cool with this. There ain't no lightning bolts. He's being patient with you guys. He's being patient with me. He's saying, please straighten this out. Stop doing this. Can I get a witness? Okay, God knows all things. He knows all things. And God invites us to search our hearts. And matter of fact, God says, I'll give you a hand with that. All right, because your own heart can be very deceitful. And you can trick yourself to say anything's cool, you know. And I'm not talking about axe murder. I'm not talking about, you know, all these horrible, horrible sin things that we think of, horrible, horrible sin things. I'm talking about the little things, man. I'm talking about all of it. Make sense? Anything that is not, that God does not give his stamp of approval on. Okay, he says, let me help you out with that searching situation because your heart can be very deceitful. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. This is kind of what's going on in Peter's world right now. It's like, look at what's going on, Pete. What do you want to do, bro? I love you. I love you. It's just me and you right now. It's the Son of God walking on the beach with Peter. Just us. And don't look over your shoulder, but John's coming. John's behind us. Yeah. Anywho. Okay, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. So I am called to search my heart. I am called to analyze my situation. Where am I at? And then Hebrews 4 and verse 12, God says, you take this good book, you take the word of God, and let's do this together. Let me search your heart, and you will be, and you be obedient to what this scripture says. Even the things I don't want to do or the things I don't agree with are the things that my dad's politicians are cool with, but your word is not cool with. Yeah, if you love me, you will do the things I command, not what grandpa commands. Can I get a witness? Okay, Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. Is that true? Is that true, or is that just some like poetry? Poetry. No, man, it is true. You get into the good book and God will begin to show you things about yourself. And it's wonderful. It's those wonderful moments where you're like, I do that. I've been doing that for years. And then, you know, pride comes before fall. Huh? Okay. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints, of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's what the word of God does. It shows you what you really are. It shows you what we need to work on. This is what's going on with Peter and Jesus right now walking on the beach. Jesus is dealing with this stuff, that stuff that we don't want to deal with, but it's necessary. Can I get a witness? So he calls him by his old name because that's how he's acting. Peter's grieved by it. He says, God, you know everything. And here's another little tidbit. Jesus says three times something like, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Matter of fact, that's what he says. Verse 15, feed my lambs. 16, tend my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. He's calling Petership to a leadership role, man. He's calling Petership to the next level of this relationship. See, God wants us to get rid of all the roadblocks, all the stuff that's unnecessary, all the stuff that could be hindering our relationship, because that's what you're going to do as a blood-bought Christian, as someone that loves Jesus Christ, someone that's made that commitment. When you do something against the Word of God, what you're doing is you're hurting that communion with your Lord and Savior. That makes sense? These are things that have to be dealt with, and God wants them dealt with so we can move forward in our relationship, so we can grow in relationship, so we can be that person that God has called us to be. Okay, so anyways, Jesus is calling him to that leadership role. He's saying, Pete, I'm the big shepherd. I'm the shepherd. I'm calling you to be a lesser shepherd to all these other people, all your other disciples too. You're going to be shepherds, man, of my people, okay? So there's something, Peter, you got to do. You got to feed my sheep. You got to put yourself in that leadership role, which is really different than how the world would see a leadership role. It's in God's economy, in God's world, there's so many things that are completely different than this natural, physical, nutty, crazy place that we live in. You know what I mean? Because Well, let me just read this, just a little bit about how God is dealing with his disciples, and he is bestowing so much on them as they're going to go out, and they are going to turn the world upside down. Remember, Jesus' ministry was in a little tiny area, really, really tiny geographic area, but the disciples went out and spread out, and the word of God went out all over the known world, and here we are today in Mildew, Florida, talking about the risen Savior. And give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. Okay, and this isn't, okay, yeah, he's calling Pete to a leadership position. Here you go. If you want it, here it is. He's doing that to all of us, even if you're not in the limelight. And I don't mean to say that, but either, you know, if you work in the background, you work in the forefront, everybody knows your name or no one knows who you are. None of that stuff matters. But God has called us all to be servants. He has called us all to be servants of the Most High God. As a matter of fact, let's look at this. Let's go back to the Last Supper real fast. John 13, 13 through 15. John 13, 13 through 15. You call me teacher and Lord. This is Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, even Judas. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. Say, you're right about that. I'm the boss. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right. For so I am. Verse 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, if me in this lofty position, Jesus was always a servant. He was always this servant leader showing us what real leadership looks like. You know what I mean? He even goes and tells them, stop. You don't lord it over people. That's what the Gentiles do. That's what the pagans do. That's what the unbelievers do. We do something different, okay? Remember, look at what God the Father did. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son. Are you kidding me? Talk about love. Talk about servanthood. He died for my sins? It's just wild, crazy. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. You see how that works? Jesus just washed their nasty, grimy feet. Okay, and probably the disciples are fighting about, I ain't going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Because they were talking about who's the greatest and all that. Maybe the conversation came up because they're like, Thomas, you want to wash our feet? Nobody wanted to do it. Maybe. Well, Jesus gets down and he does it, man. He shows them what real leadership looks like. He washes their feet. And he said, you see what I did here? Now you go and do this. You go and do this, not to me. You go and do this to your brothers. You go and do this to others. And as you do this for others, it's just like you're doing it to me. You are a servant. You are a servant leader, okay? We got to keep things in perspective, Pete. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. I got one more verse to share with you. Okay, now Peter's having this great meeting with Jesus on the beach. And he's saying, analyze your life. Look at yourself. Let me help you with that, Pete. Let me ask you some tough questions. And we're just going to wrap it up with this. The Apostle Paul is going to weigh in, talking about that leadership. What does that look like? Because Jesus is calling Pete to that next level. Okay, Pete, I'm not going to be around, not like it used to be. Things are going to be a little different around here. I'm going to give you a lot of responsibility, but I'm not going to leave you alone. Okay, the Holy Spirit's going to come. But there's a bunch of stuff I got planned for you. Good stuff. And some stuff you're not going to like so much. But we'll talk about that later. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul here giving us all some amazing truth. 1 Corinthians 11 and 1. And this is definitely a verse that you want to remember or write down. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me just as I imitate Christ. So, you know, how do I be a leader, man? How do I be a leader in my home? You know, I don't feel like I'm a leader. No one listens to me. Yeah. Well, how do I be a leader? How do I be a leader at the workplace? When I don't have any responsibility like a leader at my workplace, well, God has put you there, so you are to be a leader in some capacity. Can I get a witness? Okay, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, be imitators of me just as I imitate Christ. Apostle Paul is just breaking it down very simply. Like, you can follow me because I'm going to be following Jesus. You can follow me because I'm going to be following a good book. So if I want to be this person that God has called me to be in my home, my workplace, my book club, whatever, you know, here's the deal. When in doubt, do what God does. Do what Jesus does. Follow his example, all right? Because that's what Peter's going to do. Peter's going to turn the world upside down. He's going to be completely changed, man. Not so impulsive, not so cowardly, not just this crazy nutso guy, you know, but just a powerhouse. But just a powerhouse for the Lord God. But he knows his place. He knows his place, that it's God, it's Jesus, then him. I can do all things through Christ. I'm going to mess it up on my own. All right, dear Lord, thank you for blessing these folks, Lord. We love you and praise you. Your will be done in our hearts and in our homes. Let us leave here refreshed and encouraged. Let us want to be everything that you have called us to be. Let us allow you to analyze our hearts and show us what needs to be worked on. Let us be obedient to you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.